Y'all give it another round for that band right there. Got Patty on the drums over here, nailing it. That mustachio. Are the lights broken? We're going to have church in the dark today. No, so glad y'all picked Bethel. Glad y'all are here today. real quick, before we get started, I just want to, on the behalf of me and Marley, man, and Hayes and Holden and our two boys, thank y'all for loving on us. Thank y'all for letting us come in here. Thank y'all for giving us support, whether it be by text or calls or whatever, or outside the church. I just want to say thank y'all. This has been a big step of faith for us, and it hasn't been anything but huge, fun blessings, and it's awesome, and we're growing, and we're not perfect by no means, but, man, we're just trying to be obedient to the Lord and shine the light. So thank y'all for that. And Cody said everybody's going to find out anyway, so I was going to just let y'all in on a little piece of information right here. He called me Wednesday, said for 24 years he's never not preached due to illness or sickness, and that I was going to have to go to Guthrie, and I went to Guthrie, and then I thought, man, I talked to Jennifer, I thought, man, just in case you don't get better, I better get one ready for Sunday. And anyway, he's dealing with these kidney stones. The tough Superman sunbuck finally run into something that got him down a little bit. So anyway, before we start this service, man, I just encourage you to do whatever you want to do, but lift your hands. We're going to pray for Cody. Pray that these stones. He texted me this morning at 6 o'clock and said, hey, I think today when you get through preaching the third service, the Lord's going to deliver these stones. He said, but only if you preach with a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire, no pressure. So let's just pray for Cody real quick. Lord, we lift Cody up today. We thank you for everything that he's done in this church. I thank you, God, for everything that he's done for me and my family, Lord, and all the people that are in here, Lord, and you know what he's done and what he means to them. I pray that in the Jesus' name, God, that these stones would just come out of him, Lord, that it would just be done and over with, and he could just move on and roll on this week as a new week begins. Be with this message, Father. Just speak through me, Father. Move me out of the way. Give me the words to speak what you've laid on my heart, Lord. Thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. So, we're starting this new series, Bethel Orchard, and I was just throwing this thing together, and there's a whole bunch of different things that we could do, but my question to you today is, where are you being spiritually fruitful? Or a better question, are you being spiritually fruitful at all? Where's God placed you to be fruitful? There's lots of things that we could talk about and lots of stuff that we could go on and go days and days on about where we could be fruitful and what we could do to be fruitful. But when I was sitting there talking to the Lord, I was like, just put something on my mind, Lord, that maybe we can all just come together and we can all relate to real quick here, God. So I feel like there's three things that he showed me and three things that all of us can come together with. And it's fruit in ourselves, fruit in our homes, and fruit in our workplaces. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to break them all down, and we're going to talk about them a little bit. What do you mean? So the first one is fruit in ourselves. What do you mean, fruit in ourselves? Well, when I think about fruit in ourselves, when I think about planting something, I think about when I grab that thing and put it in the ground, I'm not expecting it to come out. I'm expecting that seed's going to stay there. I'm going to water it. I'm going to cultivate it. I'm going to take care of it. And then up comes the things that come from watering and tending to it, what I meant it to be for. But as far as when I planted that seed, that thing is going to stay there, right? I didn't have any plans that it would come out later or anything like that. So we got to be careful of what we're planting in ourselves. We got to be careful what we're putting in our hearts and in our bodies and what we're thinking about. And it all goes from what we're listening to, what kind of music you're listening to, what kind of people you're listening to that's taking into your body, what kind of things are your eyes seeing, what kind of things are you thinking about up here in your mind that Paul talks about over and over. We have to be careful about what we plant inside of us. And then when we start this process, we got to realize it's not an overnight thing. It doesn't just happen overnight. We're just not going to know all the Bible and all the stories and all the things overnight. It's a life that we just need to live thinking that we just need to grow a little bit every day. It's consistency. It takes sacrifices. And then it's going to take some changes in our daily lives. And some of those changes we're not going to like. Marley's down here. She don't like no change. Marley hates change. Marley likes this every week. And I'm like, I hope something different happens. I want to be able to react. I want to see what I'm going to do. I'm going to see if I'm going to screw up, jack up, or do better. I like change. But I get it. A lot of people like the same thing. But if we're being honest and if we're really loving the Lord and living for the Lord and being obedient to the Lord, we got to get to a place where it doesn't matter if we have to change our daily lives. If we want to be all that he wants us to be and grow in him, then we got to get over it. We got to get over the changes that we don't like. Matthew 13 31 through 33. It's the parable of the mustard seed. 31, he says, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and nest in the branches. So we got to start small, like I was talking about. That little old seed is going to turn into a big old tree. It's going to be bigger than all the things in the garden. So when we start small like that, we just got to keep taking care of it. We got to stay hooked. We got to stay hooked and cultivating things in ourselves and in our minds and in our hearts. And I know there's some people in here that don't read their Bible on a daily basis. And I'm not calling you out and I'm not making you feel like you're a bad person. But if I could just encourage you, this changed everything in my home. This changed everything in my life. And I saw my mother do this everywhere we went, to stock shows, rodeos, vacation, whatever. The first thing she did was drink her coffee and read the Word of God. She cultivated and she was ready for all the seasons and all the things that came. So if that's you and you do it Monday because we just left Sunday and then you don't do it the rest of the week because you get busy working and all these things, I would just encourage you, just say, I'm going to start with 5 minutes. Today I'm going to do 5 minutes. This whole week I'm going to read my Bible for 5 minutes before I go to work. Or maybe when you come home. Marley, she likes to do it in the evenings, but I'm a morning guy. I like to get up an hour early and do that time with the Lord. Whatever it looks like for you. But then that 5 minutes will turn into 10 minutes. And then 20 minutes, and then the fire will be fanned like we were singing about, and you just want to pick that thing up like Cody always talks about when you're feeding cows or when you have a lunch break or when you're doing this or doing that and have time. Just continue to stay hooked and don't go back. We study the cow market. We study athletics. We study football. We know all these things, and guess what? We're consistent in them. There's some of these guys and girls in here that you can ask them a question about who played and who's going to play today and all these things, and they're going to spit it out to you. We stay consistent with those things that we study, but sometimes, if we're being honest, we don't stay consistent when we're reading the Word of God, and we got to have it. Don't be weak. Yeah, it's for you and for your body and the things that are coming and the things that you're going to go through in your life, but after you've grown and walked through some different things and walked through some fire and walked through some bad seasons, some illness or some sickness or some struggles in your life, the Lord's going to use your growth for somebody else. God will use your growth for and your wisdom for other people to come and partake. He's going to set you up in places for you to be able to pour into other people, to younger people, older people, whatever it looks like. We don't know, but we just need to be ready. We need to be cultivating in our bodies, in our minds, and our hearts to be able to be ready to help somebody. Just like it says, the birds of the air come and rest and partake in it. We need to become a stout tree. We need to become something that somebody can come get under and get a little love, or somebody can get a little bit of a lift up, or maybe just somebody to talk to or pray over. We can't always be picking off the tree. If I constantly just pick off of Marley, eventually she's going to run out of fruit. She's going to run out of everything that she needs to keep herself going and that I need. We got to be cultivating in ourselves fruit for other people so that we're not always just the picker, right? Number two, fruit in our homes. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on earth. So why don't we have kids? Well, it ain't because you and her are good looking and you think them kids are going to be good looking. And it's not for personal gate openers or gophers. Go get that or go get this so I don't got to get up off the couch. It's not to even to raise up star athletes. Some of these things may happen and some of these things may go, but if it's glorifying God, all power to it. But the whole reason that the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply is to create new generations for the kingdom of God. That should be on our minds daily as we're raising our kids. Guess what, kids? You kids in here, listen. You got a job to do too. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. So if you want to live long, you want to play football a long time, you want to punch cows a long time, you want to do all the things that you like to do, start listening and honoring and respecting your mother and father. No matter what they say, even if you don't understand how it is right now, or maybe you feel like they're just smashing you because of what they're going through in their life, just trust that the Lord puts you in their lives and that the Lord's working in their lives and that you just need to respect them. Be honest with them. Be honest with them. Be honest with your struggles. Know that, just know that you can come to them for whatever you got going on in your life. Just come to them. Just be honest with your parents. Stay connected to your parents. But guess what, parents? It's our job to teach them. It's my job to teach Hayes and Holden. It's not the coach's job to teach them while we're off thinking about making more money, doing our jobs, dropping them off at school, picking them up at school, taking them home, all these things that happen in our lives. Like, it's our job to do the things that the Lord has told us to do, to instruct them in the Lord. It's our job to teach them. It's not the teacher's job or the preacher's job. It's our job. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, we got to discipline them. We need to whoop their butts sometimes. There's a reason why the Bible tells us to do it. There's something in it. This Bible is not just written for all of us to sit around and read. Like, it wasn't fought and died for and all the things that went on just because it's good words. Like, there's power in it. There's something to it of why it tells us to discipline our children. And I know this is going to be a surprise to y'all, but man, I got a lot of butt whippings growing up. And that little old grab the wall, I'm going to whoop you with a belt or a spoon, didn't work with me. It took a little bit more physical things. And I was just thinking about this story when I was writing this, and I was over in the office by myself like a couple nights ago, and I was thinking about this story, and I started laughing. But I remember one time we were at the Sixes, and my dad worked there, and we were at Four Corners Pins. You got six guys on this, guys, like about six over here, two crews working. We were branding calves, and I don't know what was going on that day, but I was having a bad day like we all have. You know, I was having a little bad day, a little sour attitude probably. And I don't even remember what I said, but I know what I said wasn't something that my dad wanted me to say because I was always saying something. But anyway, and then I went to Guthrie. I told him the first service this. I went to Guthrie and gave my story there like this Wednesday, and a lot of them came to me and were like, man, you ain't never had trouble running that mouth, but by God, you figured out where to run it now. So God is good. But back to the branding pin. I don't know what I said. My dad, he was in the middle, and I was over there on the fence, and he had his knife out, and I don't know what I said, but man, he slapped that knife together, and there was a guy dragging a calf up there. He put a left hand on that sucker, that horse's butt, jumped over the rope, and come at me like a high school athlete. I went left, ran into somebody, went right, ran into somebody, and he had a hold to me right here and put me up against that fence and gave me a paw bomb boot about 3-4 times and said if I say another thing the rest of that day, he was going to do a little bit more. And then he opened his knife back up and went back over there to the middle, and I think it was maybe Bubba Withers or somebody leaned over and said, if I was you, I wouldn't say nothing the rest of the day. I mean, it's just sometimes it takes some more. You know, Hayes is 4 years old, and a little old butt whooping don't do much good for him neither. Sometimes I got to get a hold of him and make him think about what's going on, change his mind about what we're doing and what we're thinking and doing. And I think about another story, you know, and we don't want to whoop them, and we don't want to get onto our kids because we think that they won't come to us. We think that they won't love us, and it'll push them away from us. And we think that, man, we just got to call them because, you know, we want to be our friend and all these things. And the Bible wouldn't tell us to discipline them if that was the case. Cody said a story a while back when he was preaching about when he was at the Sixes, there was a kid that maybe had an absent father or something that was around there, and everybody kind of felt bad for him and just loved on him and all these things, and just come here, do this, do that, do whatever you want to do. But he said, man, I never did to let him. He said, I whooped his butt. He said, I always whooped his butt if he did something ignorant. And he said, guess what? When I pulled up to the barn, guess who that kid ran to every time and gave a big hug to? He said, Cody Cochran. There's something to it. There's something in discipline your kids. But then the end of the verse, it says instruction of the Lord. We have to discipline them, but we got to show them the Lord. And don't make this hard. Don't make this something that they just have to do. Don't cram it down their throat and make them take it whether they want it or not, because one day they'll flee from it. Just make it fun. Just do small things. Take them to church consistently would be a good start. Have fun on the way to church. Have fun on the way home from church. Make church fun. Make Sunday something they look forward to. Make it something fun, man. When we're up here worshiping and we're just thanking God, like, I don't know, things go through different people's minds, but when they were singing about miracle after miracle, I'm just reliving and I'm just reliving all the things that God's done in my life and done in my marriage and my wife that's here that shouldn't be here, that I shouldn't be here, and all these things, like, it should be something that we're so happy for. We're so happy to worship God. We're so happy to praise. Let them kids know that. Let them know that we can have fun worshiping. Sit at the table with them. Slow down. I know it's kind of stupid coming from me. Jennifer texts me first service, slow down. I don't have my phone with me this time. Slow down, sit at the table. Visit with them, pray with them, talk to them, ask them what's going on in their lives. Memorize scripture with them. Listen to worship music, not Doja Cat, Lil Wayne. I mean, everything they're hearing is what's going in their hearts and their minds. Cody says this all the time, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. They catch how you treat others. They know how your tone is when you're talking to other people. They see how you treat your spouse. How you treat your spouse is how they'll treat their spouse. They're paying attention, whether you think they are or not. Your work ethic, your honesty, your attitude, things are going to show up, man. They're going to follow your steps. They're going to do what you do. We're constantly being examined by a child. If they can't understand, like those little ones, sometimes, you know, I know Hayes loves the Lord. He's 4 years old, and I know he likes the stories, and I know that he'll pray just a little bit. But sometimes, you know, I'm like, man, it's just too much for him to grasp, but I just don't try to push it. I just keep trying to show him it. If they can't understand the cross and the forgiveness and all the things, there's one thing they can understand, and it's what they see you do and how you live your life. We can't afford not to be producing fruit in our homes. Number three, our workplace. What kind of fruit are you dispensing at your workplace? Are you dispensing any fruit at your workplace? Or are you just that guy who punches the clock and you're mad to be there and you don't want to be there and you didn't want to get up and got a sour attitude and, oh, dang, I don't want to palpate cows today. Palpating cows sucks. I don't want to feed. I don't want to do all these things. Or are you that guy that's going to show up and be a room changer? Are you going to be a room changer? Are you going to show a little bit of love, a little bit of your conduct that Cody was talking about? Like, no matter the situation, if it sucks, I'm still going to have fun. I'm still going to shine the light. I'm still going to try to be all that I can be and do all that I can do. I'm going to show up to work maybe with the Lord's work on my mind instead of everything that I want on my mind. I wrote this down too. Like, are you that guy or girl that's like showing in your business, man, I'm a little bit better than y'all. I'm going to go up the ladder. Y'all just going to stay down here. Y'all going to run the cash register. I'm going to be the cook. I'm going to be bigger than y'all. I got a little more going for me than you guys do. Are you going to be that or no? No, the Lord will raise you up when it's time to raise you up. If you got the Lord's work on your mind and you've got your walk with God on your mind, the Lord will exalt you when it's time for you to be exalted. We just need to have the Lord's work on our mind when we go to work. When I was trying to make the switch 3 years ago, man, I had been living and talking and doing all these things like the Cowboys. And then when I made that switch and the pastor at Wagner's, I remember thinking, gosh, I got to study about how I can be around the same people that I once acted like and talked like and looked at and did all the things, but be different. And so I started looking for scripture and I started looking for stories in the Bible. And then in Thessalonians, Paul and his missionaries, they went to the Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, it says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses in God also. How holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you, believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory." So check this out. They didn't show up over there expecting to work. They didn't show over there having to go to work like we have to go to work. They weren't expected. But they knew, Paul and his missionaries, they knew. They understood the power of jumping in and sacrificing a little bit of themselves physically. They knew that if we get in here and by God and we start helping them dig this ditch and we start helping them build this building and we ain't too good to sweat and we ain't too good to freeze and work with our cold fingers, that they're going to receive what we brought to them a little bit better. Because we're not better than them. We just want them to get what we got when the Lord changed our hearts and our minds. They understood that a good attitude and some action was going to set the stage for how they were going to be received. Cody or Connor, one of them, I don't remember this week, we talked about this in the office. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So I just encourage you, when you go to your job this week, don't just make it all about the job. Take the Lord's work with you. Do the Lord's work. We should be taking our ministry with us everywhere we go, daily. It's just by some love and some conduct, like Cody was talking about, man. If we're going to live for the Lord and we believe that all the things that the Bible tells us, then we need to be taking it with us daily. We need to be showing it through how we live and how we walk. Verse 10, "You are witnesses in God also. How holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers." When I read that, I thought, man, if this was you writing, could you write that down? Could you give that to your people that you work with or the people that work for you? And then I said, man, could I say that about where I work and the people that I work with? And then if I gave them that piece of paper that said that, what would their responses be? What would their responses be about how we treat and our conduct and how we work with them and what we do? Verse 11, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. We need to put on the father mentality. We've been talking about that a lot here lately at church here and in the office. It's like, we need to have that father mentality. We need to have that I want to bring somebody else up. I'm not just going to be the best at my job, but I want to teach somebody else to be the best at their job. I want to raise them up. If I'm sick, they can step in. If I'm gone, they can step in. If I can do this, we can't just be a selfish leader. You know, we got to have that father mentality. And then that made me think about this. Do we treat our kids like we treat the ones at work? Is it the same, the father mentality? For you know, like a father with his children. We all love our kids. We love on our kids. We respect our kids. We do everything. We do anything for them. Is that how we are at work? The people that we work with? 12 says, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you. I just encourage you, don't show up in there thinking this week, man, I'm going to change the whole crowd. Just pick one. Just pick one that looks like they might be struggling. Or maybe one that looks like they're ready to receive. Or one that looks like they want to grow a little bit. Or maybe one that just needs a little pick me up, whatever it looks like. Just dedicate your time to that one person a little bit every day. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in his midst, that he is there. When you and that guy that you start pouring into and y'all start growing in the word of God and y'all start shining the light together, it will go throughout your workplace. At the end of the day, it's not by our works, but it's just by the Lord. We just got to start it and plant the seed. Let the things grow. Dedicate your time to that one person a little bit every day. These people in the Thessalonians, these people converted because Paul went to them. He went at them the right way. You know, he didn't come in there whooping them over the head with the Bible and telling them, this is what you got to do. This is what you need to believe. This is what's wrong. Y'all aren't doing this. You ain't doing that. Like, he went at them the right way. He just went at them. I'm no better than you, but man, I'm going to get in here and work with you, and then I'm going to tell you about the Lord that changed my life. I'm going to tell you about the gospel. And when I thought about that, I just think about this. You know, I've been blessed since we got here. I got a little part-time job over here at Swenson's, and they cut me a colt the other day, and this son buck has everything you want. He's got his head up. He's proud. He's flighty. He's light on his feet. He's got four socks. He's cool looking. He ought to be able to cut a cow, rope a cow, do all the things you want one to do. But let me tell you, from the very second that I put him in that round pen, I knew if I went at him like a lion, he's going to come back like a lion, and one of them 4 feet was going to be on me somewhere. The son buck is paying attention. He's sensitive. He's taking care of himself. He's on the defense. He's ran by himself. He's done everything he wanted to do. He's ran with the world. He's went with the yearling colts. He's done everything. When they go to water, he went to water. When they went to the feed truck, he went to the feed truck. Like, he just does all he wanted to do this whole time. And then here comes this man going to come in here and change him. If I didn't go at him the right way, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't receive it. He'd buck me off. He'd paw me. He'd kick me down. But I noticed that, and I read him, and I read my audience, and I thought about what I was seeing, and I thought, man, instead of having the attitude of, I'm going to teach you this much today, you son of a buck, I'm going to teach you what you can take today, what you want to learn today. And then I'm going to pay attention to where I need to stop, too, so I don't go too far. And then little by little, I'm going to have a good horse in the end if I do my job right. And it's not about the first 3 rides or the first 4 rides on this colt. It's about 5 or 10 years down the road when I get in a jam and some wire gets hung on his foot. Is he gonna jerk me down and drag me to death and kick me to death? Or is he going to remember them first 3, 4, 5 days, week when I was kind to him, when I loved on him, when I taught him, man, I'm here for you. I just got to show you how to do it. I'm just here to show you how we're going to get through some things. Or when that dry cow leaves and he's 6 years old and I accidentally catch somehow. And that rope comes tight, and she's 1,500 pounds. He ain't going to blow up and kill me. He's going to get in there and try to help me. It's just the way it goes. How we come at them predicts how they're going to receive us. So give people something positive to follow. Connor, if you guys want to come, I'll start winding it up, please. That colt, he looks to me and goes off of me when I'm in there with him, when I'm in that round pen or when I'm handling him. He's looking at me. He's paying attention to me. The people that God put in your life to disciple, and he's going to put them there. And I know that you guys already have some. But they're going to do what you do. They're going to come to you and seek wisdom. You need to be ready. You need to be cultivated. You need to be stirring up inside of you in the mornings when you're alone time and be ready for when they come for miscarriages in their family or maybe divorces or all the things that we don't need to go down those roads. But just all those things, we need to be ready to be there for them because the Lord has placed them in our lives for us to help get through some things. And then it goes back to the generations that I talked about. When I train one up, Or when I help one get grow a little bit, he's going to go and he's going to help somebody else grow a little bit. And then the one that he trains is going to go and he's going to grow somebody else up a little bit. And then it's just going to keep going down the line. And then we ought to have a better generation of people following God, right? I was sitting over there in that office, it's dark, and I was thinking about this. Like, we didn't get here anywhere that we're at today without those before us. You can go on way back in history, or you can go just the people that have brought you here today, or the people that got you in church, or the people that showed you Christ, or whatever that looks like. Whatever you're doing in your life, we didn't get here without those that went before us. If Cody wouldn't have said yes to the call 24 years ago, we wouldn't have Bethel. We wouldn't have the new building going up. We wouldn't have all the things that he's planted in us day after day and week after week, and sacrificing his life and his dreams and his things to teach us. If Cody had a bad attitude and said, I'm the best preacher there is, and I ain't going to let nobody else come in here and learn. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to preach till the day that I can't preach no more, and then this church will die out. If he had that mentality, this place would be nothing that it is. But he didn't. He understands the generations. He understands the potential. He understands the importance of it. So then he said, man, I'm gonna train up a guy that can go to Stanford and Albany and Sweetwater. He understands that there's importance in our generations. Many times, our fruit is for bigger things than us. No eyes seen, no ears heard, no man can imagine the things he has planned for them, for those who love him. It's bigger than what we can see. We live off of our past and we live off of our presence because that's all we know. But the Holy Spirit and the Lord and everything that goes in there, they know. He knows. He knows our future, where he's going to use you, where he's going to take you. Cultivate, grow. And I was talking to Cody this morning. I was like, man, I feel like this is just kind of a simple, basic sermon. And his reply was, maybe we should stick to some simple, basic sermons, and the churches might be a little bit better. And I know that this is just it may feel that way to you, but I'm just going to finish it with what's the bottom line. The bottom line is we can never stop producing fruit in our lives. We can't stop getting up and sacrificing a little bit of our day to spend with the one who made us, the one who knew us in our mother's womb, the one who knows our future, the one who knows our past, present, and our future. We can't get weak. We can't say, I'm too tired to get up and read my Bible. We got to get going. We got to keep going. We got to keep cultivating inside of us the things that the Lord has in store for us. Unlock those doors. Unlock those things that he has for us. Number two, we can't afford not to produce fruit in our homes. The Bible says that these kids are a gift from the Lord, and it's up to us to raise them, love on them, train them up. And man, they may flee. They may mess up like I did. But the Bible says you train a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he won't depart from it. That's what we got to do while we have them in our homes, right? They're going to go and make some decisions, and they're going to go and fail. We all fail. Talked about this at Guthrie, but they can all be redeemed. We can all be redeemed. Can't afford not to produce fruit in our homes. When your wife is weak, be there for her. When your husband's weak, be there for her. Pick her up. Pick off of each other. Create something in your alone time with God that you and your spouse can pull it. Some things off of each other, lift each other up, grow each other, walk in this life together. And the last thing is, take the gospel with you wherever you go. Don't show up to your job just making it all about the job. Without the Lord, no job. So I'll pray us out and we'll worship. Lord, I thank you for this place. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this simple message, God. I thank you for just reminding me of things in here that I need to do, God. And I just pray that you would just go before us this week and that you would just give us a different thought process of what we're doing and maybe not get so caught up in the busyness of we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to go here and we got to go there and all these things, God. But maybe I just pray, Lord, that the ones in here, Lord, that don't get in the Word daily, that are struggling with staying consistent in it, Father, I pray that this week you'd give them the power and the knowledge to just sit there for 5 minutes and study a little bit. And God, to those ones that say, well, it's hard for me to understand and it's hard for me to partake, and I just pray, God, that the Bible would come alive to them, that you would fan the flame so that they could understand it, Lord, that it would speak to them in their daily lives and how they're living and raising their children and living with their wife. I just pray that you would just make it come alive to them like you did me all those mornings when I was so hungry, God. I just pray that you would just give them the strength to continue to grow it and water it. And God, in our homes as parents, I pray that you would just give us a new vision, a new mindset of how we just need to raise our kids and where we need to go with them and what we need to teach them and how to teach them. And we know they're all different, Lord. And we have little ones in junior high and high school and college. God, I just pray that you would just give us all new visions of how we're going to do this life, raising these kids, God, in the instruction of the Lord. And this week, I pray, when they grab the handle of that workplace, God, that they have you on their mind and not just about the dadgum workplace that won't matter if they die tomorrow, Lord. But make it about you, Lord, and make it about your work and what you've done through their life, and that we won't be selfish in what you've done in our life, that we might pour out of us, Lord, and love on others and conduct toward others so that we can love on them and give them maybe just a piece of what you gave us so that we can help them grow and get them through some things, Father, this week. I pray that it would not just be about the job this week. Lord, speak to us in the ending of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.